Right. And it's just like, those are your issues. Right. And regardless if you're in a relationship, if you're in a monogamous relationship, if you're in a polyamorous relationship, when feelings of jealousy come up, those are for the person feeling them to resolve them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, your partner can't fix you. And that's the thing that I had to, you know, at some point, I guess me, that I had to come to realize that looking for companionship wasn't about finding someone to dump all my shit on.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And coming to the relationship with my head screwed on straight and adding value to that person's life and expecting them to do the same thing for me really allowed me to take a step back and really look at my issues, because that's not what I wanted to bring to the table.
Absolutely. I like that you said add value, because I remember years ago reading some book that my uncle had about relationships, and they were talking about how relationships should be of integrity. And the root word in integrity is integer, and an integer is a whole number. And so that means that two whole people need to show up in a relationship. That whole, like, this is my better half or you complete me, that's bullshit, right? You need to be a whole person with another whole person to create a new experience, to create the relationship then is its whole entity. Right. But it can't be with like half a person or whatever, because there's no value being added.
Right, because I've seen couples and I'm like, that's your better half, honey. You are broken. You are so broke.
Welcome to episode 11 of Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney.
Yes, hello, listeners.
Thank you for coming back, or if this is your first time. We like to start each episode with a segment called What's Still Cooking, and it gives DJ and me a chance to share anything that may still be on our minds, something that we may have read, watched, or experienced. And for me, What's Still Cooking is the news of a new queer bar coming to DC. So there are some former bartenders from A League of Her Own, which is a lesbian bar in DC, Rachel Pike and Joe McDaniel, and they're opening a new bar. During the pandemic, they began hosting a virtual bar called As You Are Bar, and they hosted events including trivia contests, happy hours, and dance parties for the queer community. And this summer, they plan to go brick and mortar in DC and focus on inclusion. So they're including patrons as young as 18.
Wow.
They all alcohol? Say that again. Well, I don't know if they're going to serve alcohol, but I remember back in the day, you know, there would be nights that clubs would have 18 and older. So, you know, I'm sure they'll find a way to make it work. But what I also thought was really great is that they're going to ensure a diverse staff by hiring from the Wanda Austin Foundation, which is a DC housing nonprofit dedicated to offering transitional living and support services to young LGBTQ people who are at risk or experiencing homelessness. So I'm excited to see a new spot on the scene in DC. Yeah.
And lesbian bars have such good music.
I mean, lesbian bars are rare, so, you know.
They are.
You know, isn't going to be exclusively a lesbian bar, it doesn't feel like.
Okay.
But it's nice to have, like, another queer space in the city.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And then, you know, just thinking back to when I was 18, I remember being, like, 20 and trying to hang out with my friends, and this one bar had just switched their policy. So I couldn't get in, and it was a bummer. It really blew the night, but so it's nice. I'm glad to have a space for queer youth to be able to have fun. The other thing that's cooking for me is the police killings of Black Americans have been amounted to crimes against humanity.
Yeah.
So human rights experts from 11 countries, they are holding the United States accountable for a long history of violations of international law and a 188-page report. They name police murders and severe deprivation of physical liberty, torture, persecution, and other inhumane acts. And they are calling for an investigation by the UN's International Criminal Court. They also want the U.S. government to support demilitarizing and reforming the police by passing a few measures, including the BREATHE Act, the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, which we talked about, and an end to qualified immunity, which we also talked about. So
we got it covered.
You know, I know. So if you don't know what any of those things mean, listen to some old episodes of our podcast and we'll inform you. But I thought that was, it's it's like, okay, finally, yes, we know that there's a problem and the world is seeing, the world is watching.
The world is seeing it.
Yeah. So what's cooking for you, DJ?
So what's still cooking for me? I have an interesting story. So yesterday I drove a friend to, a female friend, to a doctor's appointment for her first follow-up after she had bunion removal surgery. Do you know what bunion removal surgery
is? Yeah, I've had family members that had to get it done. I'm hoping that I won't have to get it done.
Well, it requires a 3 to 4 inch incision on your foot, right?
Yeah, I know that. I've seen it. Yeah, and it's painful, so, I think. It's painful to have them. And then the surgery, the recovery is painful too.
Yes, it is. She definitely has let me know how painful it is. So she wanted to continue being able to wear open toe heels.
Okay.
So before the surgery, she asked the doctor not to make the incision on top of her foot, but to make it on the side of her foot so it wouldn't be visible. So they both agreed it wouldn't be visible if she he did it on the side so she could wear open toe shoes so she wouldn't have this big, you know, incision or scar there. So yesterday, the doctor goes to remove the cast and the boot because he had to remove the sutures from the incision.
Right.
And immediately, she notices the incision was made on top of her foot
and
not the side of her foot. So the scar is going to be visible.
And so you think this is funny?
Well, let me just... So she says to the doctor, I thought we discussed making an incision on the side of my foot. So the doctor looks at his notes and goes, oh yeah, I was supposed to make the incision on the side of your foot. So, I mean, wouldn't you be so pissed, right? So the doctor didn't say anything. He just looks stunned and embarrassed. So I said, did you go crazy on him? She said, you know what? She said, I've turned a new leaf and I'm trying to just let things go. So, but I feel like every time she puts on an open toe shoe, she's going to be a little bit pissed.
I mean, yeah, you know, that brings up something else. I think that's going to be another topic we'll have to discuss because I had an experience with the, I'm assuming your friend is a Black woman.
Oh, yes.
But I had an experience with the dentist earlier this week that made me, I thought we should have a topic about Black women in healthcare and our experiences.
Yeah.
So, but I wish your friend well and hope her recovery goes well and hopefully the scar won't be so noticeable.
Yeah, because the other foot, it was done the same way and it's noticeable. So she's like, at least I have this foot where it doesn't have a scar on it, but now she has one to match. So sorry, boo.
Well, let's get into the show. So let's move into our first segment. Last week on the Red Table Talk, Willow came out as polyamorous. Mm. So Gammy, Jada, and Willow, they hosted some polyamorous couples and discussed the differences and challenges of participating in polyamory versus monogamy. It was a great discussion, in my opinion. I thought that we should definitely talk about it. What were you saying?
I said it definitely informed me.
Oh, it did? So what are your thoughts on polyamory?
So I think that one person can't be your everything, and putting like all your needs into one bucket, I don't think is wise. Mm-hmm. And mind you, I haven't had a polyamory relationship, but I've given some thought about it as I've gotten older, now that I'm in my 40s. Uh-huh. So I'm not saying that I'm closed-minded in that. So
yeah, I would agree with you that you can't put. I think it's unrealistic to achieve all of your desires from one person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that puts a lot of strain on a relationship. But that's not to say that I disagree that monogamy is... I'm not saying that monogamy is unhealthy. But what I will say is that from my experience in the queer community, there is more openness to polyamory.
Okay. Yeah, true.
Yeah, so it seems like more of a norm. Whereas, you know, in heterosexual circles, it seems like it's now having its time in the light. It's now coming to the light that heterosexuals also practice polyamory.
Yeah.
But like in the queer community, it's more of a norm, you know, I guess, you know, because queer relationships are a different type of relationship. So different forms of relationships are easier or more openly discussed. Mm-hmm. And in those discussions, there's always this concept of ownership and monogamy and how, like, you know, I mean, monogamy and marriage almost go hand in hand. Not to say that mm-hmm. polyamorous couples don't get married, but the notion of marriage is all about ownership. You know, so it's all about like land ownership and, you know, it was a business agreement. Mm-hmm. So I think polyamory is, it's a structure that really challenges people to, take out the notion of ownership in the relationships. Mm-hmm. I think that monogamy can do that. However, polyamory forces people to do that.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
But one thing that I have noticed is that women do get vilified for being, when they are polyamorous or living a polyamorous lifestyle, mm-hmm. where men are literally celebrated. Like you a PIMP.
Right. Yeah, they even talked about that on Red Table Talk, and that pretty much is just sexism, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and you think back to, we see this in film and culture. We think back to my favorite director, Spike Lee, his first joint, She's mm-hmm. Gotta Have It.
Right.
You know, Nola Darling, she was polyamorous and, you know, she was called a freak and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And we should just call it what it is. It's sexism, you know. Women have sex drives. It's a clear double standard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, women have sex drives. We have we have our own sexuality, and I don't think we should be vilified or punished for experiencing it and wanting to be full human beings. You know? But going back to your point, or going back to my point about how polyamory sort of forces you to confront the notion of ownership and relationships. The talk on Red Table Talk, they actually mentioned this too. And this is what I was thinking about, is that there's this freedom that you get to experience in polyamory. Mm-hmm. I think that the whole notion of love is about this. When you are able to be in a loving relationship with someone and then also receive fulfillment by them experiencing pleasure or fulfillment, but not through you, right? Mm-hmm. So being, there's a word for it. I can't remember. They said it on the Red Table Talk.
Coco?
No.
You know, shut up, DJ. Your lover be pleased by
shut up, DJ. No. No, that is not the word. It starts with a C, though. It's called compersion. That's what compersion. It's called. So compersion is when you are fulfilled by the joy someone else is receiving, right? And so you know, I think about like that when I think about even It's All About Love by bell hooks. She mentioned something like that in her book about like love being about seeking the spiritual fulfillment of another, or like contributing to the fulfillment, spiritual development of another, which means that we recognize that the people that we love and the people that we're in relationship with have full lives, that they had lives before they met us. And if we want to love them, if we want to nurture them, we need to give them space to be themselves, to have full experiences. Of course, in a monogamous relationship, that means that their experiences in a certain expression only remain in one boundary. And not to say that polyamory is a free-for-all, because it isn't. Like, because their boundaries,
you feel as though this is all about sex, right?
Right. People do feel that. And like, even at the Red Table Talk, Willow was saying that she's the only polyamorous person in her friend group, but she has the least amount of sex. So it's not just about sex.
Right. From what she was saying. And I don't feel like it's just about sex either. Mm-hmm. But I could see if that was the mindset that I was in, how I could sort of, well, a 20-year-old DJ would be very different from a 40-year-old DJ with tons of energy. So,
yeah, so. that was something that was really interesting, because I was thinking about it. But they had on the Red Table Talk, they had a therapist or a coach come on at the end, and she was the one that was explaining, you know, the definition of compersion. And she was saying how she coaches either people who want to try polyamory or are having problems in their polyamorous relationship or something like that. But she was saying that polyamory requires a lot of bandwidth, you know, and it's like, and it's not for everyone. And I was just like, I barely have the bandwidth to run my company, do this podcast and date. So like polyamory at this point in my life is not for me. However, I definitely also want to enter into a monogamous relationship, recognizing that I'm not going to stay in a relationship if I don't feel like I can evolve. And that doesn't mean that I want to evolve to additional partners, but I show up, like I am the superhero friend, you know?
Okay.
Like my friends are my family, and any relationship that's going to keep me from being my full self and being, you know, in the world as Courtney is not the relationship for me. Not, again, not saying that polyamory is for me, but I need to be able to honor and nurture other relationships in my life. And I think successful monogamous relationships allow their partners to do that.
Yeah, if you're definitely mature enough to handle, you know, if you've dealt with jealousy, if you dealt with fear, you confronted those things, then I think you can handle it. But if you are dealing with a jealous, you know, sort of kind of partner, I think that, you know, just me in past relationships, even me discussing exes have been a problem. You know, it's like, well, you mentioned, you know, and I would say it'd be impossible to have that sort of philosophy, a polyamory sort of philosophy with come into terms of relationships with a person like that.
Yeah.
But I think it's appealing to me that if I was with someone who was mature enough to handle it, I would have a discussion about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they were talking about how jealousy is when jealousy comes up, first of all, jealousy is a natural human emotion, right? And when it comes up, that's the choice point where you either choose to be jealous or envious, which is really based in insecurity,
right?
Or you can choose to experience compersion, which is honoring the joy of your partner, you know. And the way that I experience it is this: I've experienced compersion in when I had a roommate, and they would be in the living room watching TV. I don't know what they're watching. I'm in my bedroom. I'm doing my own thing. But when I hear them laughing, I'm so fulfilled. Like, I have no idea what they're laughing at, but just the joy of their laughter brings me joy. That's compersion. So it's like in a relationship, and then the whole like insecurity thing, like I'm not insecure. Like, why is she laughing without me? Like, no, you know, she's laughing. She's happy. I'm happy. Right. And so the whole jealousy thing is about recognizing, again, I think that's where the ownership thing, like no one can what's for you is for you. Right. And if you're secure in who you are and in yourself, you're able to manage your own jealousy. Right. You're able to manage, because it's just ego. It's about like that fear of missing out. It's about maybe the feeling of not being good enough or not being enough. And those are your issues.
It's getting something that I'm not getting.
Right. And it's just like, those are your issues. Right. And regardless if you're in a relationship, if you're in a monogamous relationship, if you're in a polyamorous relationship, when feelings of jealousy come up, those are for the person feeling them to resolve them.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You know, your partner can't fix you. And that's the thing that I had to, you know, at some point, I guess, that I had to come to realize that looking for companionship wasn't about finding someone to dump all my shit on.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And coming to the relationship with my head screwed on straight and adding value to that person's life and expecting them to do the same thing for me really allowed me to take a step back and really look at my issues, because that's not what I wanted to bring to the table.
Absolutely. I like that you said add value, because I remember years ago reading some book that my uncle had about relationships, and they were talking about how relationships should be of integrity. And the root word in integrity is integer, and an integer is a whole number. And so that means that two whole people need to show up in a relationship. That whole, like, this is my better half, or you complete me, that's bullshit, right? You need to be a whole person with another whole person to create a new experience, to create the relationship then is its whole entity, right. But it can't be with like half a person or whatever, because there's no value being added.
Right. Cause if I seen couples and I'm like, that show better have, honey, you are broken. You are so broke.
Yeah. So I think, okay, let's go ahead and move to my breakdown. My breakdown is I'm happy to see that people are, especially the heterosexuals, the straights, are talking more about relationship dynamics. Because I think that if people feel that monogamy is the only choice, mm-hmm. And then they participate in monogamy and in a way without integrity. So like mm-hmm. they're living a polyamorous life in a monogamous relationship.
Right.
I think that's an issue. But I think it's important that we get to normalize that there is no formula. Like there is no formula. Even monogamous relationships look different for everyone.
Right.
So I think it's important that there's a space for people to explore polyamory, to practice. Because the more that it's talked about, the more that people feel comfortable explaining it or expressing it. I think it's one, we may see like positive outcomes for everyone, because right now the trend is that we're going to be extinct as human beings because people aren't staying married. The young people aren't having sex, you know, like,
right.
I just think that everyone gets to experience the relationship that is good for them. And the more we discuss and create space for people to feel comfortable to do that, we're all going to benefit.
Right.
What's your breakdown?
So my breakdowns, I was listening to the conversation on the Red Table Talk, mm-hmm. and I'm like, and I love the conversation because, like you said, with this, you know, relationships need to be evolving. You know, we need to be evolving our relationships and how we process relationships. I'm glad, like you said, you're glad that the straights are having this conversation. But I did have to say my only thing that I would have to pick at would be, dude, I don't want to really hear it from a 20-year-old. The grandma, they call Gammy.
Yeah.
I could hear that from her. I can hear it from Jada. You know, I would love to hear more from Jada and Will about that. But I didn't really want to hear it from Willow. I'm like, you're 20 years old. You don't know nothing about, you know, I'm glad that you're getting it. But it's like, I want to hear about a couple who's actually have been in a relationship for 10 more years, and they're like, okay, we are branching out our relationship and evolving it in such a way where, and what are your rules? What are your deal breakers? What I want to know what those are. So I really wanted to hear that from Jada, but I knew that wasn't going to go.
All right. That was not going to happen at the Red Table. But DJ, there are documentaries. And if our listeners know of any, it would be great if you could share them mm-hmm. with us, because I don't know their titles, but I know that there are documentaries where there are people from all different age ranges practicing polyamory. So if people are interested, I would say to do your research and look out there, because there are ways to live a happy and healthy polyamorous life. Now moving on to make you laugh. I saw something on Instagram. Someone actually sent it to my DMs. It was some Instagram stories. And you know, stories only last for 24 hours. So I was happy to see that the Shade Room has immortalized it. But imagine that you are on a flight, a long one, an international flight, and you've got your window seat, so you think you can relax. But then from the seat in front of you, a hand keeps reaching back, almost like it's going to touch you. What would you do?
Can I say that? I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't put my penis in their hand.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm not even going to let you continue to answer. So I'm going to tell you what Andre Nguyen did. So Andre Nguyen on Instagram as @only.wins, that's two N's. He had this happen and he had some fun. So he posted in his Instagram stories last week his adventures, and it was captured and reshared on the Shade Room, like I said. So if you want to see it, go to the Shade Room and look back a couple of posts. But he just decided to like put his foot in the hand, socked and unsocked. He had like a little croissant that he put in the hand. I'm like thinking, if I felt that on my hand, I would be so grossed out. Like, why is your hand back there anyways? There's so much space in front of you. Put your hands to yourself. He actually had like a ketchup cup that he put, and the fingers were like dipping into the ketchup. It was just ridiculous, you know, right? I was also thinking, this is not what Diana Ross had in mind. Reach out and touch, right? This is not what she was thinking about.
Oh God.
But I thought that was hilarious. It was just ridiculous. Like,
right.
Who does this?
Like, keep your hands to
yourself. Keep your hands to yourself. Right? Like, why are you reaching back trying to touch me? Mm. But yeah, so Andre Nguyen had me laughing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's I love it. The shade room.
Yeah. That's it. Okay.
Today, we'd like to introduce to you our guest, Dr. John G. Turner. He's a highly educated gentleman, originally from Cleveland, Ohio. He currently resides in Manassas Park, Virginia. Dr. Turner has been an adjunct professor at Lord Fairfax Community College and American Public University, as well as several other colleges and universities. Dr. Turner has earned 7 degrees. He's received his Doctorate of Business Administration from Walden University, Master of Education in E-Learning, and an Education Specialist degree in Organizational Leadership from North Central University, a Master of Arts in Human Services from Liberty University, and a Master of Science in Management from Indiana Wesleyan University. Wow. So
that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Turner, for joining us today.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And where we met was you was in a leadership capacity in logistics and supply chain management industry. So and doing an awesome job there. I think he was actually acting in a senior role there at the time.
Yeah, in federal government. Mm-hmm. So still is, but yeah, that's my other life until 2 years from now. And other things will start happening. Well, they're happening now. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, you recently published a book entitled The Pros and Cons of Online Learning in Higher Education. So, of course, as we say, you've been very busy. I'm glad to have you on today, sir. It's an honor to speak with you. And I'm glad that you could join Courtney and me. So I wanted to say it's the perfect timing for the releasing of your book, The Pros and Cons of Online Learning in Higher Education. Because I was looking at the presidential address from President Biden, and he announced that he had a proposal for 2 years for free community college for students during his presidential address this week. And I'm sure that's going to have an effect or increase the likelihood on students learning virtually. So how do you feel about that?
Well, I am a higher education advocate, mm-hmm. and I feel real good about that because, as the NAACP says, or what they've said previously, their motto is education is power. So, mm-hmm. and the mind is a terrible thing to waste. So, I feel that right now, education, higher education, or general education, even as a toddler to where we are now, is a good way to reinvent good people into the society today. You know, and as the honorable late Dr. Lewis used to say, you know, keep in mind if you're going to get in trouble, make sure it's good trouble. So, right. so there you go. And I love that saying that he had, because especially today's, you know, climate. Things are a little different now. The pandemic is really affecting stuff. So, right. So DJ, you never had this side of me. So you're going to see a different side of me today. Oh,
okay. So far I'm liking it.
I'm very well winded. Obviously I'm a professor at a couple of colleges, and I'm actually, you know, I have started my new writing company called Turner Publishing and Writing Services. And what we do is we market, authors, self-published authors, and we try to get them, we try to get them more book sales than what they initially had. Mm-hmm. And I just partnered with a company, a publicity company in San Diego, California, that's going to help me get there. But to answer your question, I'm glad that President Biden is doing that, because I feel that the more people that we can get to go to school, the better the society is going to be.
Right.
Great. Yeah. And you mentioned, just moving on further about this book, you mentioned that the pandemic is, we're still in it, you know, looks like we're coming to a close, but we're still in it. And it seems to be a very suitable time for the book because so many students have not had the choice to be in person for school. So they've had to do online education. And I'm curious about what you would like to share about what are some of the benefits that you can identify from this time and what are some of the drawbacks?
Well, before I get to that, I just want to say, to be honest with you, those 7 degrees that I have, I did an interview with my little sister at her Black newspaper, Calling Post, back in Cleveland last June, right as I finished that 7th degree. And one of the questions she asked me was, why do it? Well, why not? And obviously, education is the life that we all need to doesn't always guarantee that you're going to do something great in life, because you still got to do the hard work. But it's a good avenue to get to that gate. So, some of the benefits right now is because online learning has been around since the late 80s. It's been around. So, one of the first schools to do it was Phoenix. They were the first school to get into that avenue and start. But anyways, I say the benefits of going to school online, one of the reasons when I was working on my first undergrad degree was I was in a group of people. I was going to Indiana Wesleyan, one of my alma maters, and some of the people didn't get along. So halfway through my my second undergrad degree, I realized that, hey, it's got to be another avenue that I can take, because I was busy at the time. Another thing that DJ probably doesn't know, I'm an accomplished lead guitarist and I have a music company and band and all that, but that's for another day. But anyways, and so I was always out there. I was always busy doing something. And what happened was, I was going to school for them, and I was working on my bachelor's in science and management. And some of the people didn't get along, so I decided to try going to school online, and it just clicked with me. Now, when you go to school online, obviously there are two things that you want to talk about in going to school online. You have synchronous, which means that we're all, like we're doing right now, recording and talking live at the same time. And then you got asynchronous, which means that the professor will put the assignments out there and list them out there on the learning platform. Most of them use Blackboard. And they go out there to students. They all meet at different times. Students do their quizzes. They do their homework. They do their discussions. They all interact at different times, which is the most popular. And this is an advantage for a busy adult that is going to school, got family, or your single mother or single parent that don't have time to be sitting in the classroom. On the other side of that, for someone younger that's just getting out of high school, it takes away the social aspect of trying to integrate and mingle with other people to get into a situation where you can collaborate and with others to work on projects and things of that nature. And it takes away that social aspect of some people like to be around people.
Right.
I can do either one. So those are the two.
I think for the introverts, I think that if you're an introvert, then probably you're going to, I'm a bit of an introvert / extrovert. So I do enjoy being around people, but I have to have that time to sort of re-energize alone. So I definitely feel you on that. I did want to say in chapter 5, while reading your book, the pros and cons of online learning in higher education. And actually I have a book right here. I want to, right there. The copy of it. I think my green screen is getting in the way, but I want to at least show the book. But I wanted to get some tips from you that you can provide the students who maybe less productive when they're learning from home, because that's my issue is when I'm learning from home, I have the television going, my cat wants my attention, I got some food in the microwave.
Well, that's the thing. You know, when I used to, this last degree was very difficult for me to work on because to be honest with you, I didn't want to work on it. Once I got sick, so I didn't want to work on it. When I was at American Military University, which I'm still doing some work for them, my program director, Dr. Gordon, he wanted me to teach graduate classes, or he wanted me to go back and get another degree. I was done with school, but this last degree took everything I had. I used to have hair. I don't have nothing now. don't get it wrong. Some sisters like, you know, bald head man. Because David don't know nothing about that. He's too young. Okay. But anyway. That, you know, some sisters like it, you know what I mean? But, you know, I got a little mustache, but that's starting to go now. So,
oh man.
But anyways,
it's 7 degrees. That's what it is.
Well, you know something, you know what? I used to get, and I have a daughter now, she's 29, and she's working, she's going to school to work. She's, I think she has her associate already, but she's working on her nursing degree. And she also tell me, she said, Dad, how do you get the grandbabies? And she said, Dad, how do you just shut down and cut off everybody else to do your work? Mm-hmm. And I called it, I taught her, I said, it's called going into the zone, cutting off the phone, cutting off everybody, me, your husband, family members, and everybody. And that's how, what I used to do. I would shut down for, I would shut down practically hours at a time. And then when I have to get into the mood, I know it sounds corny because I don't like writing, but when I do, I have to get into writing. But when I get to that point to where I have motivated myself, that's when I do my best work. I am undefeated. Every time, and I'm also a procrastinator, every time I had to turn an assignment late and or I had a deadline like tomorrow and I had to push myself to get it done, I always got it done. I'm undefeated when it comes to that. So it takes, you got to, if you could take yourself to another level to where I absolutely got to get this done, you will make it happen when your back is up against the wall. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the challenges of going to school online. Now, going to school online, some subjects like economics, accounting, some tough things, you just can't do it online.
You should be in classroom.
But some classes are very challenging. But then again, you know, to go to school online, you got to, the subject has to be online friendly.
Right. So DJ, we actually didn't have this question written down, but since we've been talking, I kind of want to just ask it head on. You, Dr. Turner, you've mentioned how online learning can be beneficial for like busy adults or single parents. And then you mentioned that for younger people, they may want to do in-person learning because of the social aspect. But do you think that there is a certain student or are there certain qualities of a student that would make online learning not attractive, like someone who may have neurodivergencies like ADHD or anything like that? Would you say that it would to tell them to just do in person, or would you give them certain recommendations to pursue online learning?
Well, with the pandemic going on right now, I would say those type of students need special handling. It's a possibility they could go online, but in a video chat, sort of like where it is in a synchronicity type of environment, meaning that the person, like we're talking now, that's different because that's how they're getting around COVID now. A lot of kids are going to school, you know, doing that synchronicity type of thing right now versus I wouldn't recommend the asynchronicity to someone because they, you know, it probably wouldn't be good for someone with that.
Right.
I think so, we have time for one more question, DJ.
Okay, cool. I wanted just to, I'm a career coach, as you know, sir. So, and many of my older students, clients are often intimidated by technology. So what advice can you give to our listeners who are considering maybe returning to college, but may feel that they aren't technologically savvy enough to embark on an online curriculum?
Well, you don't have to be technological savvy to go online because most learning management systems is what they call them, LMSs. They are user friendly. Blackboard is the dinosaur, but they got other ones like Coursework and Moodle. They got, you know, that are even far more better. And the key is, some people, like I have, some people don't even know how to turn a computer on, let alone.
At this age, I feel so sorry for you if you cannot.
Right. So you just got to know basic computer skills. And I think that that can be taught to someone. Right. Basic. My daughter, when she was in 10th grade, she would run circles around me in Microsoft Word, mm-hmm. especially doing a PowerPoint presentation. I would always go back to her, daughter, what should I do? What should I do? I said, where did you learn this? Daddy, I learned that in 10th grade. I said, what? I mean, she'd get creative with it and just run circles around me. I was like, wow, I'm impressed. Well,
My mother, I think she can run circles around me with Facebook. I mean, you know, I get her a smartphone and now she's a Facebook expert. You know,
well, Facebook is trouble. So,
yeah, for some people,
for online learning, I think Facebook would be a no-no.
You know what? That would get people definitely a degree if you give them a Facebook. So, finally, so how can people connect with you if they want to learn more about, you know, your book and also any other projects you want to bring up?
Well, first of all, you should go on, and if you don't have my book, including Courtney, you should go on. You should go to Amazon. You should go to Amazon and order my book. If you have Prime, you probably can get it free, the e-version of it. It's only $9.99, and then the e-version.
Only $9.99.
That's right.
That's the best price I've heard all day. All right.
And the e-version is only $7.99, and I think if you have Amazon Prime, you can actually get it free. So it's they can go to Amazon and get it. It's also on Barnes & Noble. I prefer Amazon because I'm trying to make the New York bestsellers list. But anyways, and also they can contact me at lowercase drjohnGTURNER@gmail.com. That is Dr. John G. Turner at gmail.com.
We'll leave that in the description notes as well.
It's been a pleasure to meet you, Dr. Yes, Turner, sir. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day to connect with us and share that wonderful information.
Well, I appreciate it, Courtney and DJ. We also have, me and DJ, I'd like to meet you one day, Courtney, when that time comes up.
Yeah, I want to hear this guitar. I want to hear you play the guitar. That's what I want to
hear. Oh, definitely. See, DJ ain't seen that side. So we got a show coming up. So yes, good. DJ didn't know that part of me. He didn't know. See, I'm a master of, what is it? What did they say?
I like what Courtney says. Courtney has a quote. She says,
I'm the Jill of all skills.
I love that.
There you go. I like that. And I'm going to steal that. Now, I play guitar for you, but I'm not going to do that for Courtney. For a DJ.
And Courtney can sing too. And Courtney has a beautiful voice as well. So.
Oh, she do. Yeah. Oh, I want to hear that because we're looking for a female to sing on a song that we got.
Okay.
So. I like to hear your voice sometime. When off this is over with, DJ know how to get a hold of me when he wants something. So,
okay.
Yeah, I do.
All right, great.
In our effort to bring you light, optimism, and hope, we have come to the Inspire segment of our show. So, rap artist Young Thug and Gunna paid it forward this week. Posting bail for about 30 people at the Fulton County Jail in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
They said the men and women they helped were being held for minor charges, but were forced to stay in jail because they couldn't afford their buns.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. So during an interview outside the county jail, Young Thug said, we just woke up and went to the jail with the lawyer, the DAs, the prosecutors, and the bonding company, and got out as many people as we could.
That's really great. I love hearing that.
Yeah, and Gunna added, you never know what somebody been through. There were people sitting in jail 3 to 4 years because they couldn't get out of their bun. They couldn't afford their bun.
I'll say it again. I don't know if I've said it on the show, but we need to abolish our prison system. Like we do. I'm glad to hear that, you know, they were able to participate in that way. Mm-hmm. But that's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's absolutely 3 to 4 years for minor crimes because
it's
you can't.
Slavery. It's modern slavery. Mm-hmm. And so those released were served a home cooked meal and they were told they were going to be featured in an upcoming music video.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'll definitely have to check out that video when it comes out.
So the rapper said they plan to do this generous act again in the future.
Great. I look forward to the day when they don't even have to.
Yeah. You know, it's sad. I mean, but I'm just glad that somebody is taking some active role in trying to make the lives of this modern slavery thing better.
Yeah, not to shade those who like their jewels, because I don't think there's anything wrong with jewels. But, you know, instead of bedazzling your neck with the chain, it's nice to free the chains of others.
Yeah, I
appreciate the way that they're investing their funds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the end of episode 11.
Yeah, another one in the hopper. Yes.
That's right. Thank you guys so much for listening. You know, we want to thank again Dr. Turner for joining us and remind everyone that you can check out his book. What is the title again, DJ?
The Pros and Cons of Online Learning in Higher Education.
That's right. So check it out on Amazon, check it out on Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You should be able to find it. And you can check the show notes to get the link and the proper spelling of his email address. Yes. We are also on Instagram and Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at Breaking It Down Show and Facebook at Breaking It Down Podcast. As always, you can email us. DJ, what's the email address?
At BreakingItDownShow@gmail.com. Again, that's BreakingItDownShow@gmail.com.
That's right. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Breaking It Down with DJ and Courtney is edited and produced by Designs by Courtney H. Music produced by Courtney Hinton. Thank you for listening.
Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and leave us a review.